Well, the Lord is faithful, amen. He is beautiful, and He is deserving of our worship, and He is faithful. He is good, and He is kind and compassionate. And we're thankful that we have a God that is those things. This morning, I do want to let you know that Scott Thorne, his mother, had passed away this morning. So if you know him, he's been part of our church started in his house. So they're not with us today. So they are going to down to Dallas, Texas to be with that part. So if you know him, maybe you can give him a text. But keep them in prayer, and him and Deb as they go down there for the for those procedures for losing his mother. Today we're going to be in 2 Samuel. It should be 2 Samuel chapter 13. I think I told my guys up there 1 Samuel, but it's 2 Samuel 13. Today we're going to be talking about a topic. It's not a good topic. It's really a bad topic. It's not one of those that'll fire you up in your walk with the Lord. It's not a message that's going to get you excited in the Lord. But sometimes we have to have these kind of messages as well. We have to have these real life-to-life messages. If I was to stand up here and tell you it's time for you to get your best life now, and I continue to preach on that and preach on prosperity, then I'm not really the preacher that you need. It's not the preacher that needs to be here at New Life. I believe that we are a group of people that live life in the world as believers, but we also live a life in the flesh, and we live a life in the world that is broken. And so, therefore, we have broken things in our own selves, in our own families. There is no perfect family here today. Can we all agree with that? Amen? There is no perfect family here. There is no perfect dad. There is no perfect mother. There is, as much as you might think, there is no perfect grandma. And there is no perfect grandparents. The little kids might say, hey, my parents are perfect. I might say my grandparents are awesome and perfect, but really there is no perfect person. And there is no perfect family. The topic we have today is a tough topic. It is a hard topic. And some of you it might hit a little bit more than others. But it's something that we need to look at today. Stats say that between one and five women have been raped one time in their life. And one in 71 men have been raped sometime in their lives. 85% of sexual abuse never gets reported. 70 to 90% of sexual abuse happens by someone of the family or someone that they know. And the Bible doesn't hide from it. The Bible puts it right out in plain sight in the verses we're going to read today. I want to read this story. I want to tell you this story. I'm going to read this story to you. So it's a little more scripture than what I normally would read. But I want to tell you about scripture. It would be better for me to come up here and read all scripture, the whole service, than to put my own words into something that wasn't biblical. I believe and wish that those guys that are preaching on TV, if God's given them a segue to preach the gospel, they need to be using the word. I see so many times they go up to the pulpit and there's not even a Bible in the pulpit. Or they move the pulpit away and said they just need more room to flow and speak to the people. Let me tell you, there is nothing more important today than God's word in this service. We understand that, so sometimes we have to read a little bit more. And I'm not a person who wants to just give you a real short piece of the story, because I believe that God's word will tell you the story better than I can. So let's dive in to 2 Samuel chapter 13. It is an ugly chapter, but sometimes we have ugly chapters in our own life. Amen. And I'm telling you, this is not a good story. This is not a good story, because some of this is going to bring up some of you something in your life, in your past. But I want to remind you also that Jesus can heal. Okay? So it's going to take a few minutes to read it, but we're going to read it because this story needs to be read all the way through. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, some time passed. David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and David's son Amnon was infatuated with her And Amnon was frustrated to the point of making himself sick over his sister Tamar because she was a virgin. But it seemed impossible to do anything to her. And Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, a son of David's brother Shimei. Jonadab was a very shrewd man, and he asked Amnon, "Why are you, the king's son, so miserable every morning? Won't you tell me?" And Amnon replied, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother's Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend you're sick. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare a meal in my presence so I can watch and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my presence so I can eat from her hand." And David sent word to Tamar at the palace, "Please go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him." Then Tamar went to his house while Amnon was lying down. She took dough, kneaded it, and made cakes in his presence and baked them. She brought the pan and set it down in front of him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Everyone leave." And everyone left, "and bring me the meal to the bedroom. Amnon told Tamar, "So I can eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes that she had made and went to her brother Amnon's bedroom. When she brought them to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come sleep with me, my sister." "Don't, my brother," she cried. "Don't disgrace me, for such a thing should never be done in Israel. Don't commit this outrage. Where could I ever go with my humiliation? And you would be like one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Please speak to the king, for he won't keep me from you." But he refused to listen to her, and because he was stronger than she was, he disgraced her by raping her. So Amnon hated Tamar with such intensity that the hatred he hated her with was greater than the love he had loved her with. "Get out of here," he said. "No," she cried, "sending me away is much worse than the great wrong you have already done to me." But he refused to listen to her. Instead, he called to the servant who waited on him, "Get this away from me. Throw her out and bolt the door behind her." Amnon's servant threw her out and bolted the door behind her. Now Tamar was wearing a long sleeve garment because this is what the king's virgin daughters wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long sleeve garment she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went out away crying out. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has your brother Amnon been with you? Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this to heart." So Tamar lived as a desolate woman in the house of her brother Absalom. When King David heard about all these things, he was furious. Absalom didn't say anything to Amnon, either good or bad, because he hated Amnon since he disgraced his sister Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom's sheepherders were at Bel-Hazar near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And there they got together, and then we move on to verse 28. Now Absalom commanded his young men, "Watch Amnon until he is in good mood from the wine. And when I order you to strike Amnon, then kill him. Don't be afraid. Am I not the one who has commanded you? Be strong and valiant." So Absalom's young men did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the rest of the king's sons got up and each fled on his mule. We see here a really sad story that's happened in the scripture. And as we get and prepare our hearts for that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, open our hearts today that we may receive from your word what we need. Lord, I know this story is a hard story, a hard scripture to read, for there are some in the room that have a similar experience in some way, fashion, or form that relates to this story. I pray, Father, for them that you would console them, but your spirit may speak to them. And I pray, Father, you would speak to the whole congregation today as we see this story unfold. In Christ's name, amen. I want to remind you that God loves the family. God has created the family with Adam and Eve, and they had children, and then it was long that they became grandparents, and so God has created the family to be one together. But because of sin, sin comes together, and it can destroy families when we let sin, especially sexual sin, intercede into the family. I want to remind you that everyone needs to have boundaries. Everyone should have boundaries. You need to learn. We need to learn to control ourselves. If you don't control lust, lust will control you. Let me tell you again. If you don't control lust, lust will control you. It is a beast. It is a beast that continues to roll inside our hearts and our minds. And if we don't get control of it, it will certainly control you. But I want to break down some of this story because it is a hard story too. There's a lot of moving parts. And sin is a big part of this. I want to remind you that David is the king at this time. David has already had his own personal issues. David already had an affair with, has already had committed adultery with one of his generals, one of his warriors. He had sexual relations with his general's wife, even though she was married, and he was out to war. And then when he tried to do some deceiving things with him, and the husband wouldn't fall for it. And basically, David gave Joab an order, his main senior chief general, to go out there and put this young man out there in the front battlefield so he'll die, because he found out that this woman, Bathsheba, that he had a sexual relationship, was pregnant by him. It could not be by her husband because her husband was out doing battles. And so with all that story there, this was a hot mess for David and his palace. And a lot of people knew what had happened. And we see a prophet come, and the whole thing went down from there. And so David repented from it, and God forgave him, but there was some repercussions of it. Now some time has passed. That's where it gets from the beginning, that some time has passed was that first verse. And so some time has passed from that. Now things are beginning to happen inside of David's family. And so David has this son, and his oldest son is Amnon. Amnon is his oldest son. And so Amnon had this really infatuation toward his sister. Now, King David had a few wives, so Amnon and Absalom, and they had two different mothers, but they had the same father. And so here it is. We see that some things were happening. He had an infatuation that he didn't control. But something comes into play here that we kind of miss. And there's a character in here. His name is Jonadab. He is a character in here. Now, what we see here sometimes is we see here that in verse 3 it says a friend named Jonadab. That's actually his cousin because it is David's brother. So we know that this is a cousin piece that is here. And so he is sitting here helping this. He's helping his cousin Amnon set a plan. He is being deceiving. And Jonadab is a main character in this because he helps get this thing going. He takes it from this mental problem the sexual thing, that the infatuation that Amnon has, and Jonadab pushes him to not just think about it, but do it. And he actually brings forth the plan. And so we see that Amnon takes that plan and he does exactly what the plan is, and it works. I want to remind you, idle time is not a good time. If you don't do well in idle time, then don't have idle time. Idle time is when you're not being busy about things. Idle time is where temptation starts to rise. Idle time is where things happen. This is what's going on for this. And there can be a moment where there is the scripture does share that it can be a pleasure in sin, but it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, and choose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. So there is a pleasure for a season in sin, but it will end. It is a promise, it will end. So we see here that there are some people in this. We see some people in this. But I also see this character, Jonadab, wants to do something. He is part of the family, but he's the extended family. He is a cousin. His father is the king's brother. And you know there's jealousy in families. You know that there's jealousy in families. Brothers are jealous of brothers sometimes, and sisters are jealous of sisters. And sometimes part of family is jealous with other families. This is exactly what's going on here. Jonadab is doing his thing here. We're going to find him out just a little bit later, another thing that he does. He switches gears real quick. But what we find out here is a total disgrace has happened. This man lets sin just have its way. I remind you, this incident, this is a very horrible incident. It has long effects. It has long-lasting effects. This sexual abuse piece, this rape has long, and it can destroy relationships. And you might have family members that you cannot talk to because of something like this, that you've had to put them way out there outside of your circle of friend and trust and family. They may be family by blood. It doesn't mean that they are close anymore. This can have caused mental and long-term damage on individuals. This woman, this young woman, was a virgin and was waiting for that moment for her father to find a husband, those things. And back then, that's what royalty, that's what they did. And so this was all taken from her. And she struggled, and she had to go, and her brother, she lived with her brother after that. And she was desolate for the rest of her life. This causes permanent damage. Permanent damage. But I remind you that there was warnings there. There was warning signs there. There was an opportunity to stop. He had an opportunity. Amnon had an opportunity. Because Tamar said don't and no. No means no. And don't means don't. She also reminded him that you're my brother. But he took no heed. She also said this should not be done in Israel. He didn't take heed. She said don't do this horrible thing. He didn't listen. You are going to disgrace me. He didn't listen. Where am I going to go? He didn't listen. What will happen to you? At the moment, he didn't care. He didn't listen. What will be, you will be an immoral man. You will be a fool in Israel. He didn't care. He let the flesh reign. Be a rapist in Israel. He did not care. She let him know that what he was doing and was about to do should not happen. But he did it anyway. The scripture says he refused to listen. She even said that maybe you can talk to the father of the king, because the king, there was no rule, that there's nothing that the king could not do. And she said, maybe. I'm sure he'll just let us be together and be married. But he didn't listen to that either. I think sometimes we struggle with sin because we really just say it's sin, but we don't put a name to it. Because when we put a name to it, then it becomes real. This man raped his sister. This man raped his sister and had no care for her at all. Jonadab was also a part of it. Amnon was the one who did it, but Jonadab was the one who helped make the plan. But he had alternate purposes, and we'll get to that. He had alternate purposes. So the damage has been done. The damage has been done. For the scripture says now he hated her more than he even loved her. This man is in a dark place. But it doesn't stop. The problems doesn't stop. This is the mountaintop of the problem, but it still has overflow from this situation. We read that Absalom, which is Tamar's sister, or a brother, that they have the same father and the same mother, he says something. When she comes running across the street with her hand on her head, and she comes tearing with her sleeves off of her arms were ripped off. It says in verse 20, her brother Absalom said to her, "Has your brother Amnon been with you?" For somehow we see that there was something that was been going on in the past, whether it's been rumors or it's been his intuition or he thought something was off. He knew something was up, and that was the first thing he asked, "Has your brother Amnon been with you?" So he knew something was off. But he said, "Be quiet for now." And she went to live with him as a desolate woman. But when he says, "Be quiet for her now, sister, he is your brother," he's already putting a plan together. You see, this is, he's not done. The damage to his family, to him, to her, he had also taken upon himself. So he's upset about it. And he's trying to figure out what to do. But then we read in verse 20, where it all could have stopped, but it didn't. In verse 20, when the king David heard about all these things, he was furious David was furious. He was upset. This is all about his family. This wasn't about anyone. This was his family. He was furious about it. He was angry. He was angry about it. But sometimes being angry is not enough. It goes on and says in verse 22, there's some scriptures also that we can read that he didn't really get up. He was furious, but he didn't do anything about it because Amnon was his first son. So he holds on to it. He's angry, but he's not angry enough to do something about it. So it sits there. But we know someone else who's angry too, and that's Amnon. And Amnon gets together his guys. He gets together the rest of the brothers, and they all get together. They all get together and take him out someplace and have a conversation. And Amnon has his men, his young men, but also his other brothers are there. All the sons are there. And Absalom gives the order to kill Amnon. And he kills him. So he kills him. And then all the sons, all the other brothers, they just take off. They don't know what to do. They all take off. And a rumor gets started that all of a sudden David hears a rumor that all of his sons are now dead in the field. It's a rumor. It got started. All of his sons are now dead. I mean, this story is getting worse and worse. I want to back it up. I'm going to read verse 30. While they were on a way, a report reached David. Absalom struck down all the king's men, all the king's sons. Not even one of them survived. That's the rumor. Absalom killed them all. In response to the king stood up and tore his clothes. And they laid down and lay down on the ground, and all of his servants stood up or stood by with their clothes torn. He's in mourning. He thinks all of his sons are dead. He thinks Absalom killed them all. But then we see verse 32. But Jonadab, son of David's brother Shimei, spoke up. My Lord must not think that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, because only Amnon is dead. In fact, Absalom has planned this ever since the day Amnon disgraced his sister Tamar. So now, my lord the king, don't take seriously the report that says all the king's sons are dead. Only Amnon is dead. Here we find a problem again with this Jonadab sneaking into the family. I want to tell you right now, be careful who speaks into your family, even if it's family. Sometimes there's family you just got to go, you know what? I'm loving you from a distance and you're over there. There's some family members that you need to keep away because this Jonadab just caused issues. This Jonadab is causing issues into the family. You got to remember, he's part of that family. He's part of the royalty, but he's not in the number one spot. His dad is not in the number one spot. He's never going to be in the number one spot. There's always these jealousies. Sometimes these jealousies rise up, and Jonadab says, listen, my Lord must not think that they have killed all the young men. So he's trying to put hope. He's putting hope. He's telling some truth, right? But he says the king's son, because only Amnon is dead. He has no heart for his cousin who he set this plan up with to have this sexual relationship with Tamar. So he says, in fact, Absalom has planned this ever since the day Amnon disgraced his sister Tamar. That plan was yours, man. That plan was yours. He didn't say that. I'm telling you, just because it's a cousin, just because it's a brother, don't always believe. You need to know, you need to check things out. You need to make sure there's trust, and then there's faith, that there's trust, and you know. Do you know most domestic disturbances the police get called for is family on family? Yeah, most people that get something stolen is family, stealing from family. Yeah. And a lot of adultery is also from family to family. Jonadab helped set this thing up, and now he's putting the man down that he helped put up. He's saying, since Amnon disgraced his sister, so now, my lord the king, don't take this seriously. He's trying to get some points with the kings, what he's trying to do, cause issues in the royal family and move up in his own family. This is a mess. Sometimes our own family is a mess, isn't it? Sometimes our own family is a mess. Here we find, as I continue to read, what we end up finding out is that Tamar, where all of this started, is almost forgotten in these scriptures. But here we find out we have Amnon, we have Jonadab, we have Absalom, and we have the King David. Yeah. And every one of them failed Tamar. Every one of them failed Tamar. If you've been through something of a sexual abuse or an offense on your life, you can feel as though others have abandoned you or failed you as well. But I want to remind you, God sees everything. The Bible gives us clear scripture that every man and every woman will stand before God and give an account. And the things that we may have put in a skeleton closet, took the key and threw it out the back and drove it 50 miles away and threw it in a cornfield, God has a key. God's eyes see through all doors and all rooms. There is nothing hidden from God. Nothing hidden from God. All of these characters failed Tamar. As awesome as King David was through Scripture, he still had a failing moment. This was a failing moment. He struggled. He was great as a king. He was great as a commander. He was great in the battlefield. He was great on planning. He was great at architecture. He was great at singing. He was great at writing. He was great at all things. But he was not the greatest and not very good when it came to his family. His family was a hot mess. But still, the Bible says that God searched for a man that was after his own heart, and he found David. But it doesn't mean it's not just how you start. It's how you finish. You have to finish the race, and you have to finish well. Even David's son Solomon tried. He started well. He started strong. He started pleading to God, and God gave him so much, yet he did not finish well. Absalom looked like a man that also started strong and started right and started well. But he saw his father not taking care of business, so he decided to take care of business, and he thought the best way was to kill his brother. And so he did so. But then that stayed in his heart, and he separated himself from his father, and then he rebelled against his father and took over the kingship and the castle for a moment. And then he was found dead in the woods, tangled up in the limbs of a tree. And when he heard news of that, when King David heard news of that, he also broke down and cried. He was a broken man when it came to his family. He was a great leader. But he was not good at the family. And now if there's one thing a family needs, is men that will be a father. Men that will protect. One thing a family needs is a mother that will be loving and forgiving, but also protect. And you may think today that no one protected you. And a horrible thing has happened to you. And maybe not just once, but maybe is more than once. And it may be something you never told anyone. And it's something you carry every day. I can promise you that cannot be changed. But what you can do, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all who are weary." That means you have a load on you that you can't carry. He says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden." That means things have happened in your life, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it. It's just been too much. It's stressful. It gives you anxiety. You can't go back to a place. There are places I'm sure some of you can. There's a road. There's a house that you never want to see again. There's a street you never want to see again. There's a city you never want, or a town you never want to visit again, because you know what that place did. You know the things that happened in that town. You know the house. You know what had happened, and it's horrible things, and you don't want to go there. And maybe you don't, and that's a good thing. Maybe you don't want to repeat it, but I want to tell you, you can't run from it. It's something that's horribly, it's something that could happen, has happened to you. It'll be yours. But you can deal with it. As Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest from it. Cast all your anxieties before him, and he will give you rest. Seek the Lord, and you shall find. Yeah. Ask, and it shall be given. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Yes, God is saying, I am there. I am there. I am there. God doesn't just want to hear from you when you need something of money or financial crisis, or doesn't want just when you need a job or you want to get into a college or you need this or you need that. Sometimes God wants to hear what's really on your heart. Lord, I'm broken. Lord, I have something in my heart. I don't know how to share it. Here it is. I know that you know about it, but I can't even mention the word that's happened to me. I'm carrying this for 5 years. I've been carrying it for 10. I've been carrying it for 40 years. It is upon me. Has overtaken me. I don't even know how to be intimate with my spouse because of this happened. I don't even know how to be honest about this story, about this situation that's happened. But I know that whatever it is, I can't handle it anymore. And that's the conversation that God really wants to have. Really, what's going on in your life? And folks, sometimes God is interested in what has happened in the past. We always think that God's about the present, and he is. We always think God's about the future, and he is. He has great plans for the future. But sometimes you can't get to the present or to the future until you work through your past. And God says, we need to go there first. But until you're unwilling to go there, and I'm telling you, you may be young today, and you have something that's happened to you, and I'm telling you, you need to speak up. You need to find the person that you trust the most. The person that you trust the most. The person that you trust the most. And you need to share. If you're young, you need to share. And you need to open your heart. And as hard as it may be, because it could be someone, most likely it's someone that you knew, or someone that's related to you. We always talk about the stranger danger and all those things, but the highest percentage is someone that knows you, that you know them, and they're related. And we don't want to hurt them. People don't want to hurt them. Don't want to say their names. Don't want to mention to you. We don't want to mention it because we don't want to hurt them. But I want to tell you, you're going to carry it until you deal with it. And God wants to deal with it. We are to trust in the Lord. If you've been sexually abused, it should have never happened. It should have never happened. It should have never happened. Especially when it becomes adults. Adults on children. But even adult to adult. Did you hear that stat from the beginning? 85% of sexual abuse is not reported. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God puts in his word about the fall of man. He puts in the word about the plan of the coming Messiah. He puts in there all these prophets and all these great, beautiful history pieces. He puts in there the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see the story of Jesus coming on the earth, being that mortal man, yet God, coming down, living a sinless life before doing all the miracles that Luke chapter 4 says he's going to do to release the prisoners and all those beautiful things. Does all those beautiful miracles. And the Bible talks about how he went to the cross and how he died for all of our sins and how he was buried. And then he was raised on the third day so that we might also follow in a resurrection that we can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But it doesn't stop there. It continues to teach us how to be disciples of Christ. And it continues on to say, yes, Jesus is coming back. And then it ends up to the moment that then all of a sudden Jesus comes back. And then there's this whole thing that happens. And then there's the great white throne judgment. And then there's all of ours, all the beautiful things that we see in heaven, and then there becomes to the end. But I want to tell you, that's what he puts in this book all those beautiful things. But he also put in here, in the middle of it here, in 2 Samuel, the Lord says, I want him to know about sexual abuse that has happened. Listen, it happens even in believers' families. Because if there was a believer in this time and era, it was David. David wrote so many psalms about his love for God, how God brought him out of looking like it was defeat and turned the defeat into a victory. He sings all these songs about how awesome God is. He does all this. He has a heart. He has a repentive heart. But God also wants to remind us that, hey, there's also a part in believers' lives and families that sin can creep in. And when it does, this is exactly what Satan wants to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. He was banging on this family. And there was a lot of victory in the darkness. Tamar was never the same after that moment. Amnon died. He was murdered. Absalom later on rebelled against his father and he died. King David lived with loss. A disgraced daughter. He lost two sons. I'm going to tell you, the brokenness. Let me tell you, you can be good at your job, you can be good at all kinds of things, but if you neglect your family and you don't stand up for your family, these kind of things happen. Defend your family. Protect your family. Be the men of God, not just in what you do and how you serve God, but also how you serve the family. As I said, 1 in 5 women have been raped sometime in their life, and 1 in 71 men have been raped in their lives. Men have a harder time bringing it up because it feels like it's not masculinity, that we are weak in some sense, but that is not the truth. When a 50-year-old or a 40-year-old messes with a 10-year-old, that's... No. No. I'm going to remind you, virginity, being a virgin, is laughed at in the world, but it's honored in God's sight. And Tamar knew that. She was saving herself for her future husband, to honor God, to honor her husband, to honor her name and her family. And it was taken away. But I remind you, virginity is not a laughing piece. It's an honorable piece. And God sees it as that. I know some of us today, this might be a hard message to comprehend and to bring into our life. Because sometimes you can hear someone say how awesome a person is, but you're sitting in the back and you go, I know, no, but you won't say anything. No. You don't know what that person, and you lock yourself away and you're fearful because the threats have been made and you're afraid. You don't want to feel like you want to destroy someone's life. Let me remind you, truth doesn't destroy lives. Truth sets people free. That's a lie of the devil, that truth hides and protects. I mean, the lie hides and protects, but truth is what really sets people free. Father, I know today this is a hard message. But Lord, it is in your word. Lord, you give us a couple of chapters of this thing. It's a horrible thing that has happened. But Lord, Tamar's not the first one and she's not going to be the last one. And today I'm sure this room, this size today with the stats that we read, we know that there are some people in this room that have been sexually abused sometime in their life. Maybe it was by a relative, a father, or a mother, a brother, a sister, an uncle, a cousin, whatever it may be. I pray, Father, Lord, that they would find some healing through that. The healing comes from you. I pray, Father, they seek you. For your word says, if we seek you, we will find you. And you can do things that no one else can do. You can do things that nothing else can do. you can truly heal on the inside as well as the outside. So I pray today, Lord, that our hearts would be right with you, that our past would be right with you, and our present would be right with you, so our future will be right with you. May those who are wrestling with this topic today find peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen.